This is the Wednesday, May 11th edition of the Daily Wager Podcast. We've got a busy, busy Wednesday coming up. A lot of NBA, NHL, and some baseball as well. So sit back and enjoy, and we'll be in and out in less than 10 minutes, like always.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Daily Wager Podcast, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. I am Doug Gazarian alongside Joe Fortenbaugh. And Joe, you got the good side and the bad side of some wild endings last night with the Brewers run line and then also the team total over in the Suns game.
I was trying to pick up a couple cheesesteaks while checking the score. First of all, there aren't any good cheesesteaks in Vegas. I read somewhere that, being from the Philadelphia area, yeah, you got to try this place just like Philly cheesesteaks. So I got double dipped as I was getting a lousy fake Philly cheesesteak. I watched the Brewers blow it in the eighth inning on the run line. So not happy. And then I went ahead and contributed to more heart disease with the cheesesteak. So as you can imagine, Doug, I woke up this morning nonplussed at the way things shook down last night. New day, though. New day, as they say in the gambling world.
But Suns over 108.5 team total got there because instead of a dribble out, they go for a dunk and get fouled. So
yeah, very fortunate.
They take it, and they give it. All right, so two more playoff games today. We could see a series close out with the Grizzlies and Warriors. I will say be careful hammering the Warriors. It looks very tasty. I get it. And obviously they're not going to miss their first 14 or 15 threes, but this is a team that has had trouble focusing over the years. This is a team that Klay Thompson's not the same in terms of defense. So just overall, they don't have the stoppers like they once did. And Draymond's having to clean everything up. And the Grizz kind of figured some stuff out going big, bully ball. And Barkley was talking about it after the game on Monday. These Grizzlies aren't rolling over. And I'm not putting a home dog upset out of the question.
All right, I got two plays on this game. The first one is the Grizzlies team total under 107.5. And I am going to make a play, smaller play, on the Warriors -4. So we're going to be opposed on this one. I look back to the beginning of the series, games in Memphis. Warriors were laying 2.5 in game 1, 1.5 in game 2. Now you take Morant out of the equation and they're only laying 4. But to be fair, we have a lot of data points since those first two games in which Memphis has been quite competitive. The thing that gets me is you take Morant out of the equation. He's averaging 38 points, 6 boards, 8 assists, and 3 steals per game in this series. That's a big chunk you need to make up for, especially with Desmond Bane not really carrying his end of the bargain. So that's number one. Number two, the Warriors have been brutal from deep the entire series, 32%. And yet they've still won 3 of 4 games. If they wake up at some point from deep, they're going to blow the Grizzlies out of the water. And then number three, I wonder about the mindset of Memphis without Morant. It's not just like during the regular season when he was hurt, he'd miss a few games and come back. He's hurt, and they're saying he could be done for the entire playoffs, even if Memphis comes back to win this series. So I'm wondering what the mindset is in the locker room. Small play on the Warriors -4 in the event they wake up. And I do think the Grizzlies under 107.5 is a good play as well.
Yeah, I like the under as well. I mean, that's where I'm headed. Obviously, it's not going to be a rock fight first half like it was on Monday. Second half did go over for those curious. I'm not taking the Grizz. I just can't. But I'm not betting the Warriors. That was my PSA to the public. But go fire away. More power to you. You'll probably win. Celtics Bucks. First look, this thing looks way too high. 5.5. I made it like 3.5 or 4. So I just feel like there's an unnecessary tax with no Robert Williams. I know home teams have been thriving in these playoffs, but this is a different series than the one we saw last night. Last night was a situation where both all 4 home teams won. So that means the team that was on the road in game 5 was pretty spent after emptying the tank to win games 3 and 4. That's not the case here with the Bucks and Celtics. Bucks, you know, they alternate. So I have to take the +5.5 here.
Two plays here as well. I agree with you on the side. This number jumped off the page to me. I'm thinking, why are the Bucks getting 5.5? I think what we saw last night is baked into this line, and it shouldn't be. Essentially, this is a series that's 2-2. Miami-Philly was 2-2. Phoenix-Dallas was 2-2. Phoenix comes home. Boston's coming home. And Miami came home. Miami won by blowout. Phoenix won by blowout. So I guess the mindset here is that maybe Boston wins by blowout. I don't see that. I don't see that at all. Milwaukee is not Philadelphia. Milwaukee is not Dallas, even without Chris Middleton. 5.5 points, way too many in my opinion. The money line here is Milwaukee plus 190. Let's convert that for a sec. That's a 34% chance implied probability they win this game. Based on what we've seen from Milwaukee in the past and what we've seen in this series, do we really think they only have a 34% chance to win this game? I don't think that's the case at all. I think it's much better than that. So I put a little bit on the money line. I play the 5.5. And I also think we have to go under 214.5 here. This number's too high. It was under game 1, 2, and 3, and the total kept dropping. Then we got an over in game 4. So now the total's been bounced back up. But look at game 4. It was going to be an under until 71 points were scored in the fourth quarter. That's an outlier. So now the bookmakers see that game's gone over and they bumped this total back up to 214.5. It's too high. First three games in the series, Boston and Milwaukee were combined shooting just 40% from the field. In game 4, they shot 46% from the field. That's the outlier performance. I think this game comes back down to earth, slow pace, great defense, very competitive, under 214.5.
Yeah, the Robert Williams factor was contributed to the last game as well. But I will say referees are letting him be physical in this series. And
yes,
obviously the series getting later and later. I cannot take the over, but I think the Robert Williams component was a variable. Three games in the association of WNBA, by the way. I like all favorites, actually, and I'm not going to play it because I don't think I'm going 2-1, and especially if two of them are on the road. So those dogs look dirty. So I want no part of them. I think we see convincing wins, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe a money line parlay would be fun. Who knows? Let's go hit the ice. I'm sorry.
Nice call on the fever last night.
Yeah,
nicely done, Douglas.
Anytime you can break out a cowbell on set and live TV, you know, the fever probably played that in their pregame and said, hey, the world's counting on us.
The gamblers on ESPN like us, so we can do it.
Mystics got there as well. Nice second half comeback to win by double digits. So we're strong out of the gates here. Let's go to the hockey. One game has my attention here. Stars, Flames. I just got to keep playing under 5.5. I do like the first period under 1.5 as well. Look, anything can happen in hockey. We know that. But this has been a very defensive-minded team. Calgary's cranked up the D for sure.
I agree with you on that. Another play in there would be Dallas under 2.5 team goals in this game. It's juiced at minus 150. At home in this series, games 3 and 4, when Dallas was at home, they averaged 33 shots and 2.5 goals per game. In the two games in Calgary, 19 shots and 1 goal per game. So I'm going to go under 2.5 for Dallas. I also like the Penguins plus 115 over the Rangers. It's okay to reassess this many games into the series 4 and say that the Penguins have their number. The Blue Shirts got nothing. They got nothing here. Through 4 games, Pittsburgh is plus 34 in shots, plus 6 in goals. They've taken 6 fewer penalty minutes. And when you look at the expected goals metric, Pittsburgh's expected goal metric is 64.4, which is number 1 for the entire playoffs. The Rangers' expected goals, 35.5, the lowest of any playoff team this postseason. Pittsburgh is working the Rangers in this series, and we get them at plus money here. I'm going to go ahead and play Pittsburgh plus 115.
All right, I like it. Fire away. And yes, I mean, dogs bark in the NHL over the last 5 postseasons, so can't fault you at all. You have a baseball play for the people before we let them go.
Get excited. Cardinals, Orioles, get excited. Cardinals, Orioles.
Saw that.
Double play here. First 5 under 4.5 runs, and then the game under 8 runs. A lot of day games today. This is not a day game. This is a night game. So whenever you're listening to this, you should have an opportunity to make a play. Neither team hits right-handed pitching all that well. All right. They're both about league average, so nothing there to worry about. But we got 2 righties pitching today. Spencer Watkins is going to go for Baltimore. He's been shockingly somewhat consistent. 2 earned runs. He's given up more than 2 earned runs 1 time in 5 starts. So he's been able to give you a handful of innings early in the game without getting shelled. The Cardinals are turning to Miles Mikolas. 1.53 ERA this year. He has surrendered just 3 earned runs over his last 25 innings pitched. And we know the Orioles don't hit all that well, although they are winning more games this year than they have in the past. So double dipper, Cardinals, Orioles, first 5 under 4.5 runs, and then under 8 runs for the full game. If you want another one, I'd also consider the Angels in the first 5 over the Rays. It's about minus 125. Otani's going, so you're paying the inflated price. The Angels have been an absolute wagon. They've won 6 of 7. They lead the division. They smash left-handed pitching. They're going up against Shane McClanahan tonight, who's been good for Tampa Bay. But again, the Angels crush righty pitching. Top 5 in almost every key category there. And in the first 2 games in this series, LA has beaten Tampa Bay 23-3. I know that this should be a bounce-back spot for the Rays, but with Ohtani going, it's not going to surprise me in the least that the Angels come out and put up a big sweep.
Not worried about a hangover celebrating the no-hitter?
That's the thing. I look at that. I did see the big celebration last night, but the way they're playing, there's a celebration every night for the Angels. It's either a walk-off. It's either an electric pitching performance. It doesn't stop with these guys. It's not going to surprise me in the least if they come out today and put up another good showing. It's time to start thinking about them from a futures perspective and how we want to approach them in the AL. All the talk is about the Yankees and the Mets playing well. The Dodgers are a freight train. The Angels are really, really good this year. They're showing it early in the season. They deserve a little bit more love, but because they haven't done anything for the last decade, they're flying underneath the radar.
Joe, giving out the praise and love to the Halos. Well done. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Daily Wager podcast. Just a reminder, our last conventional show is tonight, 6 Eastern on ESPN2. Tomorrow, we have a special NFL schedule release for 2 hours on ESPN Plus beginning at 8 p.m., partnering up with Matthew Berry and the Fantasy Crew. Should be a lot of fun. And then the show is dark on Friday. So good luck today and tonight. We'll see you at 6 Eastern and hopefully Thursday evening as well.